I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, just days ahead of the official opening and ribbon cutting of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, we're going to talk about Indiana trails. We're going to talk about why they're important and whether we have enough of them. This will be a show that makes you want to lace up your shoes and go for a good hike. I'll be joined by Richard Vonnegut of the Indiana Rails to Trails Council, Karen Haley of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, Diana Virgil of the B&O Trail, and Jeff Edmondson of the Indianapolis Hiking Club. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about Indiana trails. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Got a great group of guests here today, starting with Richard Vonnegut, who is with the Indiana Rails to Trails Council. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Karen Haley, who is with the Indianapolis Cultural Trail. She has some news to share with us here in just a bit. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having us here to talk about all these great trails.
It's good to have you here. Jeff Edmondson, who is with the Indianapolis Hiking Club. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Representing the 600 members of the Indianapolis Hiking Club, I'm glad to be here today.
Okay. Well, glad we don't have them all here in this tiny space. And Diana Virgil, who is with the B&O Trail. Diana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and I want you all to come out to Hendricks County to the B&O Trail.
Okay. I want to start, and I think actually the biggest news hook we've got here is obviously this weekend, the end of this week, represents the opening of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail. Could you talk a little bit about that event, or it's more a series of events, and then really talk a bit about what the Cultural Trail is and its genesis?
Sure. So the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, a legacy of Gene and Marilyn Glick, is finally complete after starting construction in 2007. The trail is about 8 miles long and connects the downtown cultural districts in Indianapolis and also connects to the downtown greenways and therefore connects to Broad Ripple, which is the 6th cultural district. And this weekend, we're celebrating not only the completion of all of this hard work that's gone into the planning and construction and design of the trail for the past decade, but also the celebration of this brand new public space that we have to use in downtown Indianapolis. So it's a public celebration because it's a public trail. It's our trail. It's for everyone to use and get out and celebrate. So on May 10th, this Friday, we are having the ribbon cutting, the final ribbon cutting for the 8 miles of cultural trail. We're excited to have Secretary Ray LaHood from the U.S. Department of Transportation will be here. Congressman Carson and Mayor Ballard will also be speaking at this ribbon cutting event taking place at 3:45 p.m. Friday afternoon at the intersection of Market Street and Alabama Street downtown. So right on the cultural trail. It will be a ribbon cutting like you've never experienced. I can promise you that all of your senses will be entertained. There will be visual art.
So it's not just going to be scissors and a ribbon.
It is not going to be scissors and a ribbon and talking heads. There's going to be some great art planned, some cultural events, some poetry, some music. It's going to be a really, really unique event. And afterwards, everyone's invited to cross the street and try some new cultural trail beer brewed by Fountain Square Brewery that will be available at a beer garden put on by Tomlinson Tap. And that's the first part. As you mentioned, it's a series of events. On Saturday, May 11th, that's when the big public celebration happens. We're inviting everyone to get off their couches, to get out and come downtown, to get down on the trail and celebrate this new great space that we have in Indianapolis. All the fun starts at 10. Essentially, it goes from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We're going to kick off the morning with 4 IPS marching bands coming in from the 4 different quadrants of the trail. They'll be marching. We encourage everyone to bring
and
decorate.
I assume there are safeguards to make sure that they don't run into each other.
Exactly. Like they're actually going to be marching down to City Market, where they will culminate and play Get Down On It by Kool and the Gang. So we have to, it's our theme song for the week. But I encourage everyone to come on out, march with the IPS parades, decorate a parasol, grab an old umbrella. We want this to be like a second line band in New Orleans and really get the public into it, have everyone dancing their way down the trail to the culmination point at City Market. Then we're going to have three IPS drum lines start playing again, and march everyone back out onto the trail to take part in all of the great 85 plus events that we have planned over the entire 8 miles for the entire day. So there really is something for everyone.
So there'll be a point at the extent of it, there will be many different entry points for people.
Many different entry points. And I think that's the great part about the trail. You know, there's really not a start and a beginning. It begins where you get on and start your journey, and it ends when you decide to get off and go do something else. And that's really one of the points of the trail, is that it's a beautiful journey, it's a beautiful connection, and hopefully everyone enjoys coming down and getting on the trail this weekend and all the subsequent days and weekends after that. But really, it's a time for celebration. It's a public asset. We want everyone to come out and celebrate Indianapolis in the spring. It's a great time to be here in the month of May and really celebrate all that we have to offer and what the trail adds to our downtown.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Richard Vonnegut of Indiana Rails to Trails Council. Why are trails important? I'm trying to give you a chance here to tee it up and make the case for trails.
I love that question. There's no end to it. But first, I want to congratulate Karin, Brian Payne, and the whole Cultural Trail, Gail, the whole Cultural Trail Legacy Group for all that they have done. So congratulations and putting on a two-day event. It's
Thanks.
Wonderful. There are many, many benefits to trails. Three of them right off the top are for personal physical health, but then for mental and spiritual health. And I often say walking on a trail, whether it's sunny or a little bit cloudy, even a little misty, but having the sun come through leaves or the shadow, walking in and out of shadows of buildings like on the Cultural Trail Legacy, it's spiritual and it's just mentally uplifting. I think if anybody's been frustrated, if they can go walking, they'll just feel better because of that. But it's used for recreation and for transportation. It's sort of hard to separate all of those, because if a person bicycles to work every day or hikes to work or just hikes a little bit every day, it's going to just uplift them and they'll physically just feel better about it. So there's just a lot of physical matters. But trails, and we, with the Rails to Trails Council, try to promote a variety of trails, but reuse of old corridors, rail trails, canal trails, towpaths, things of this sort. And so we're necessarily saving a bit of history, and we're creating an ecological buffer zone for sound, for trees, for animals, birds, and others. So there's a lot of different reasons for having trails and the use of trails in a community.
Jeff Edmondson, I'm going to take it in a slightly different direction here. What makes a good trail? What's the definition of a good trail? What things?
In our organization, we find that we like to hike on just about any surface. So we hike on roads, sidewalks, trails in the woods, trails in parks, hard surface trails, rocky trails, just a little bit of anything where you want to get out, enjoy the environment, and experience the good that nature provides to us. That's a good trail, and it can be anywhere. We do 2,100 hikes a year, five or six a day. Most are in the Indianapolis metro area, but we also hike around the entire state. We visit almost every state park every year. We hike several of the trails that are in the state parks. We do a lot of hiking in the southern part of the state on wooded trails. So it is something that we find, and echoing Richard, wherever you walk, that's a trail.
When you take these hikes, what are the average lengths of them? I mean, if people want to get interested, and I think there is a perception out there at times that when you're talking about a hike, you're talking about something that involves backpacks and, you know, long treks.
Most of our hikes in the hiking club are in the 5 to 6 mile range. And we do longer hikes. We do some in the trail hikes where we'll do 10, 12, 15 miles in a day. But most of our hikes are 2 or 3 hours, and they'll be 5, 6, 7, 8 miles. A lot of the ones in the metro area that we do are of that nature, 5 to 6 miles, and it takes a couple of hours. We have a popular one in Broad Ripple at 6:30 on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. That's a 5 to 6 mile hike. They finish somewhere between 7:30 and 8, 8:15, and then frequently go to dinner afterwards, that kind of a thing. As Richard was saying, it not only becomes a physical activity, but a bit of a social activity where you're hiking with friends, and it's like an enlarged family.
Can anyone just join you for this
Yes,
hike?
We have to be 18 and over, but other than that, anybody can join us. If you go to our website at indyhike.org, you can find out how to become a member. You can also take a look at our schedule. We issue a schedule every 2 months, and we list by day the hike, how to get to the hike, who the leader will be, give you a convenient phone number to call to talk to that leader about the hike if you're just trying us out. You can try us out for 2 or 3 hikes and see whether you like us. And it's a sort of a screening process.
Okay, so you don't have to commit to a membership first.
Right.
You can go.
And the membership's only $20 a year, but again, you don't have to commit initially. You can check us out and see whether you like us or not.
So you say that there's a very popular one that you do on Mondays that I think starts at 6:30, did you say?
Right, in Broad Ripple.
Where? And if somebody is listening to this right now.
It's on Carrollton Street. It's on Carrollton Street, just I think a block or half block south of, I think, 62nd Street or West, is it Westfield Boulevard that goes through? And that's, again, we sometimes get 30 people out for that hike on a Monday evening. So we hike all during the day. Many of our people are retired, but for those who work, we have hikes before and after work hours.
We are talking about Indiana Trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Diana Virgil, please tell me about the B&O Trail.
What
is involved there?
It is actually one of the visionary trails in the state. It will eventually be 65 miles from Tibbs Avenue in Speedway, going out west through Hendricks, Putnam, and Park counties to the Wabash River. And we have a group in Speedway that are working to buy and purchase the corridor. In Hendricks County, we already own about 17 out of the 19 miles, but we only have 3 miles constructed. But we have love volunteers. In fact, we had one of the best volunteers is from the hiking club. They got in there and worked and helped clear us up before we have done the construction. So they are very welcome to come back and enjoy it now as we've got it. We've got, again, we have the 3 miles constructed, and we have a tunnel under Ronald Reagan Parkway in Hendricks County that has some murals painted from all ages, from the fourth graders on up to professional painters. And then we have another section that goes from to 267. And we also, when you're talking about National Trails Day, we will have a 21st bicycle ride, which will start in Williams Park in Brownsburg. And we really aim for families. We have a 10 mile, which is very flat and goes on through neighborhoods and gets on the trail and comes back. We actually had a 5-year-old boy who was very happy and proud and said he rode the 10 miles last year. Then we have other longer rides too.
When you call it a visionary trail, what do you mean by that?
Well, that is part of what Governor Mitch Daniels started, Hoosier on the Moves. And he wanted to get a trail within 15 minutes of all Hoosiers. And so he has designated, there was a whole group of people who got together to arrange all this. And they picked 6 to 8 long trails that will be in the state that will really be the main trails, and there'll be other smaller trails besides that. And the B&O is one of the 6 or 8 visionary trails.
If you're just wanting to get started, you know, beginning hiker, let's say, you know, a doctor has recommended that you start doing some walking as exercise. Richard Vonnegut, where's a good place? You're living here in Indianapolis. Where is a good place for someone like that to get started, and what's a good way to begin that routine?
There's a lot of good places to hike, and a way to begin is just to walk a short distance, whatever you're comfortable in, whatever shoes you're comfortable with. If you want to go with somebody, fine. If you want to go alone, find a nice section of sidewalk or a trail that exists. The B&O exists. The Monon exists. We have the Cultural Trail Legacy that exists, and there's the The city has the Pleasant Run, the Eagle Creek, the White River, and the parts of the Pogues Run. There's a lot of trails, and there's a lot of Fishers, Zionsville, Plainfield have a variety of sidewalks and trail segments that one can walk and just walk a short distance, whatever you're comfortable with, and then just slowly build up from there. If you're going to be rigorous or you have a health problem, talk to a doctor. Just start walking. We at indianatrails.community have the most complete segment of trails around the state, and you can pick any of them to walk.
We are talking about Indiana Trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us 1-866-476-3881. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about Indiana Trails today. My guests are Richard Vonnegut, who is with the Indiana Rails to Trails Council, Karen Haley, who is with Indianapolis Cultural Trail, Jeff Edmondson of Indianapolis Hiking Club, and Diana Virgil of the B&O Trail. Well, Karen, you're the one. Obviously, part of the news hook and the reason we're doing this show is the opening of the cultural trail this weekend, the official opening. I think that's going to surprise some people who've been walking on it for a while now. I guess I'd like to talk a little bit about why we decided the cultural trail and what all goes into doing something like that. What all was involved in creating the cultural trail?
That's a great question, and a lot of work went into it, over the past decade, maybe 11 years. The visionary behind the cultural trail is Brian Payne, the president and CEO of the Central Indiana Community Foundation, and a couple of things were happening at the same time with Brian. He was a new dad who was looking to get outside and stretch his legs with his young son, hit the Mona on one of those days where it's just packed, everyone has spring fever, they're out, and he saw how popular it was. To be outside on your bike, walking on such a great rail trail that we have in town. At the same time, he was one of the newly appointed cultural district commissioners several years ago, where the city was looking to create a cultural district program. And as he was doing some additional fundraising to support that, one of the things he kept hearing from people is, our downtown is not connected enough. Fountain Square is too far away. How would you ever get to Fountain Square from Washington Street in the Wholesale District, or to Mass Ave from the Wholesale District? So those two things kind of happened at the same time. And he thought, well, why can't we build an urban version of the Monon Trail to connect our cultural districts? And again, 10, 11 years later, you've got 8 miles of the cultural trail, and it is a state-of-the-art, world-class urban facility, open to the public 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And one of the goals with the trail was not just to make it a linear corridor like some of the rail trails that we have in town, but to make it a beautiful experience and a beautiful journey. So every time you stepped on the trail, you were able to experience something new, where it was the changing landscaping. The trail is so beautifully landscaped. Every season, every day, you see something new blooming, or that you could enjoy the public art that was commissioned as a part of the trail. So the trail has lots of pieces of art that people can enjoy as they go walk up and down the trail, whether they're using it for exercise. And I think the trail is a big part of this healthy living movement here in Indianapolis, because you're able to get out and enjoy the trail and walk and exercise, again, 12 months out of the year. One of the things we do is make sure the trail is clear of snow and ice in the winter months, which is something that is really unique to the trail system that we have here in Indianapolis. Or if you're using it to get from point A, use it to get to get your groceries, or to walk to work, or to walk over to IUPUI if you're a student. Every time you're on the trail, it's a beautiful journey, and that journey is just as important as the reason why you're using the trail.
What were the obstacles in bringing it into being?
I'm sure if Brian were here, he could list numerous ones. I actually have been in this role, executive director of Indianapolis Cultural Trail Incorporated, for the past 2 years. It's a new nonprofit that was created to manage the trail now that construction is complete. I know some of the obstacles they came up against during construction. Obviously, you always get pushback for something new, doing something new. There were a lot of design challenges. I think with the trail, a lot of some of the construction issues, I think it took a little bit longer than expected in some sections. But really, here in Indianapolis, it was a unique combination of people being able to say yes, who were in the right place at the right time. One of the biggest coups of the trail, I think, that we don't talk about enough, is that the city made the commitment to the bicyclist and the pedestrian to give them a lane of vehicle traffic back. And that's something that you really just don't hear about in a major metropolitan area, maybe in a smaller town, in a smaller community. But across the city, when you look at the really populous areas, everyone's trying to figure out how they can get more cars on the road. And here we took a leadership role, and the trail made it happen to say, bikes and pedestrians, you're going to get priority here.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Jeff Edmondson, do we have enough trails here in Indiana?
There are a lot of trails in Indiana, but there are many that are in the planning stages. Part of my role as the state representative for the American Discovery Trail is working on developing and improving trails. We've added a lot of new trail, some of it supported much by Richard's work in the past on banking railway right-of-ways. We've added a lot of trail in the northern part of the state, and there's just new trails in people's minds all over the state. One of the things I found interesting in this role was that the small towns frequently will have one or two visionary people mm-hmm. who have the idea that they can build a trail in their community, and because of hard work and organization, even small farm towns that you wouldn't think could have much end up building trail. And there are some places that have built as much as 30 miles of trail, both north and south of their town, and incorporated their town. So there's a lot of trail, and we get lucky in Indianapolis Hiking Club. We hike a lot of these trails, and there are some beautiful places to hike in the state.
Diana Virgil, what were the obstacles in trying to get the B&O trail off the ground?
It is amazing.
Onto the ground, I guess, as the case might be.
Well, it took us 20 years. I've been working on this 20 years. But it's been marvelous to hear.
What inspired you to get involved in the first place?
Well, I'm a bicyclist, for one thing.
Okay.
And we were going to go up to Michigan and to go travel some of the trails up there, and also in Wisconsin. I learned how Indiana is so far behind in trails. And so when we started, the options goes a lot of just the change of mind. People just were totally against trails. But thank goodness the Monon got popular. And so that started to change the mind. And now with the cultural trail and all the other trails, it's amazing that people are demanding the more and more trails. I get more and more questions as, well, when are you going to connect? We have a gap between the two constructed areas. When are you going to connect those two? Where can I park? When are you going to construct going further west? That's the things we get now compared to what I heard 20 years ago, which I can't repeat on the air. It was so bad.
Please don't.
Indiana has changed. We realize how it's important to get out, be able to, as Richard said, it's a social, it's a spiritual experience, it's a health experience. It's wonderful.
Well, Richard Vonnegut, in terms of we've heard that there was this kind of initial pushback. What was the reluctance? I mean, to me, it sounds like, okay, you go out, you take a walk, and, you breathe some fresh, clean air and clear your head a little bit. Who could object to that? Where were the objections coming from?
The objection came in several different ways, but as we know, a lot of it is simply fear of the unknown or trying to accept change. And there were various people who, in various parts of the state, who spoke against it. But in the 90s, there were people who were saying rape, robbery, pillage, and murder, and yep. Those didn't occur. Not to say trails are perfect, but the matter is that so many people are out there, so many people are walking, and as with anything, you have to have a degree of safety, know who and what's around you. But the benefits so much outweigh any problems, and it's just remarkable. And people, even I've known people who have objected, and then when a trail was built and they're walking on it, or they'll say, when are you going to get this done? And I'll say, why you objected to it? And they say, well, I want to walk, or my daughter wants to walk, or something of that sort. There's all sorts of stories about people accepting once the program begins.
We talk about, we've talked about the Monon, you know, as sort of almost, it sounds like that was a transformational event here for this city. And I do remember, I at one point in my life, I was a triathlete until my knees told me that I couldn't be any longer. but I remember when the Monon opened, we would do long training runs along it. And initially, a lot of the businesses were not happy about its construction at all. And then they started petitioning to, you know, to have, in effect, cutaways so that they could access it and people could access their sites from it, that there was a transformation. Was that you're pointing at me, Richard?
That's a part of it. The businesses came to accept it. What the story that's long told is people would have first objected, build a wall, and then soon enough, the wife or somebody would say, "Well, no, wait a minute. Let's put a gate in here so I can get out on the trail and walk it.
And I don't have to hop the fence.
And I don't have to hop the fence." So the matter is, we who were advocates were watching how many gates and little walkways over the water swales were being built, and that was fun. But the matter is that people came to accept it, and I think walking is so much a part of our being. We've put that down since the 1960s. Basically, transportation planners built roads without sidewalks. But as Karen said, people want to walk, and we're taking back walking from a lane of traffic because people want it. It's part of our being. We walk every day, whether it's across the room or whether it's across the city. We walk someplace, and that is healthy.
We've gotten a couple of notes from listeners. One from Katie on Facebook, who says, offers a clarification regarding the Broad Ripple hike sponsored by the Indianapolis Hiking Club on Mondays. The hike starts at 6 p.m., not 6:30.
I am corrected. Thank you, Katie.
Okay. She caught it. It says, just arrive about 5:50 at the parking lot on Carrollton, about one half block south of Broad Ripple AV, or check the schedule at indiehike.org. And then the other one is pitched towards you, Karen, and just ask, is there a URL or is there a place people can look up all the events for this weekend?
There is. Thanks for that question. It's indieculturaltrail.org/getdownonit. And there is up-to-date schedules. Again, there's 85
You might
over.
Want to give that again, since that's not your standard easy-to-remember URL.
indieculturaltrail.org/getdownonit. And up-to-date information about the over 85 different activities that are planned. They're family-friendly. It's everything from an exotic animal petting zoo to a street festival at Indiana Avenue to swing dancing lessons down in Fountain Square. And I've heard there might even be miniature ponies up by Indy Reeds on Mass Ave. So lots of music, lots of live activity, arts, culture. It's fun for everybody.
And if they could not remember that URL, if they just Google Indy Cultural Trail.
Get down on it. But yeah, Indy Cultural Trail, I'm sure we'll get you there.
Well, get down on it might take you some places you don't want to go on the net. But
we want you to get down on the trail.
Yeah, we are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, where are other places now that we should have trails? We've talked about the fact that there's now this initiative, this drive to try to make it so that, as Diana said, no Hoosier lives more than 15 minutes away from a trail. The other number I've seen is no further than 7.5 miles away from a trail. As a math problem, I guess that assumes that they're supposed to be able to cover the 7.5 miles at about at about 30 miles an hour. But so where are some other opportunities where we could make great trails where they don't exist right now? Richard Vonnegut.
There are a number of trails that are being built, and they're in various states of construction. One is the Marquette Trail running from the Illinois state line around Lake Michigan to the state of Michigan. Much of that exists, but there's even more that's being built on that and making it more complete. And then also in the northern part of the state, there's the Pumpkin Vine Trail that runs from Goshen to Shipshewana, and portions of that are being improved and being finished and closing some gaps on that. Around Indianapolis, we have a good system, but it needs some connections. Eagle Creek needs to be made southward. Right now, there's a section being built south on White River to connect with Raymond. That needs to go south to Southwest Way Park. And the Pensee Trail and the BNO East and West need to be complete on those. Those are some of them. And in southern Indiana, there's a variety of trails. A group that I'm working with is trying to build a 19-mile trail out of Bedford, Indiana. So these are all in some stages of work. And there's always an opportunity to add to or expand.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Amy who says, "No mention of the equestrian sections of the B&O trail. Horse owners have helped pay for trail purchase." So I think that one's directed in your way, Diana.
Good. I was going to get around to horses. The B&O trail will have an equestrian trail alongside of it. In fact, we have just mapped out and walked it and given the map to one of our equestrians. We actually have four equestrians on our board. And we were not able to do the construction of the equestrian trail when we did the 3 miles because we were able to receive some stimulus money, but it had to be done very quickly. But now we're working, and we're also dealing with wetlands, so we have to keep out of the wetlands. But it's on the way, and we will have an equestrian trail. And then further west, we will also continue with the equestrian trail. In fact, since we don't have money to finish all our in Hendricks County, we're going to have the equestrians just clear it out and walk right there on top of where the railroad was.
Where does the funding, the money come from for this?
That's the work of eternity. We have had transportation enhancement money from the federal highway bills. Mm-hmm. We've had that. We've also applied for different money like the Indiana Heritage Trail, Indiana Heritage Trust, and we just got a grant from the Bicentennial Nature Trust that Mitch Daniels put out last year before he left the office. So there are grants out there, but it's a continuing raising because the grants are always, you have to match it. And so we've been working hard to match it. With membership to businesses, to foundations, any place we can get money.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Neil, welcome to the program.
Hello,
Neil. What's on your mind?
Hi. I know this is primarily a conversation about trails and rail trail corridors and so on, but I wanted to see if anybody there might have a thought or comment about water trails and the accessibility for people who enjoy water sports, seeing as that I think Indiana may only have one or two actual designated water trails. That's my comment or my question.
Thanks very much for the call, Neil. I'll see if we can get you an answer. Richard, I'll start with you on that one.
We have very few. This is an area that we're going to expand in. We just don't have it. We're going to be talking to Dan Valeske, who's very knowledgeable about trails and get it on our map. It's just an area that needs to be expanded.
Maybe we ought to take a step back here. When he talks about a water trail, I'm sure a lot of people are going to think, okay, that's a religious experience here. What do we mean by a water trail?
Canoeing, Richard, I'll stay with and you. Kayaking, and I presume one could put a float in there, get an inner tube and float along.
But
it's a
river. Way just for sort of recreational
water trail. Generally, that would be recreational and not as much transportation. But it'd be healthy to get out. But a water trail, there is a water trail that has been developed around the shore of Lake Michigan. So one can get out on the lake and travel a number of miles from Gary to Michigan City in that general area. So there are, and then there's Sugar Creek and Whitewater Valley in the Metamora area.
But we're talking about just a relatively small handful, it sounds like, as opposed to the...
There are more than that, but I'm just not up on it. And that's something in the next 6 months, year, we'll expand the website, indianatrails.community.
Okay. Companies who have rafting that you can go rent their raft and go down on rafts. So there's a lot of other companies, because we've done that in the past with our kids.
And there are some lakes, too, water trails around lakes.
Right.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Richard Vonnegut, Karen Haley, Jeff Edmondson, Diana Virgil. We are talking about Indiana trails. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about Indiana trails today on No Limits. My guests are Richard Vonnegut with Indiana Rails to Trails Council, Karen Haley with Indianapolis Cultural Trail, Jeff Edmondson of Indianapolis Hiking Club, and Diana Virgil of B&O Trail. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. Your question, please.
Actually, I wanted to just make sure that we mentioned some of Indiana's more rugged trails. I'm a backpacker, and there are some beautiful long-length trails that are available, like the Knobstone Trail, which is about 46 miles long, runs between Bloomington and Columbus. Amazing trail, kind of the most furthest way you can get away from all of the hustle and bustle in Indiana. But if you're looking for a smaller distance, but you still want to get that deep in the backwoods feeling, the Low Gap Trail, which is near Martinsville, Indiana, is 10.1 miles, and it's got some great well-established campsites. It's got a whole lot of ups and downs and different views. You go through pine forests and down along the creek bed, and it's just some beautiful terrain. And, you know, I think that those trails are kind of underused because people get scared off by being out in the wilderness, but that's really the best way to get a look at wild Indiana.
Thank you very much for the call, John. Well, Jeff Edmondson, I asked earlier what was a good, easy way to get started. John's taken us in a different direction. What if you are an experienced hiker, what are some of the most challenging trails?
Well, in this state, and we in the Indianapolis Hiking Club, we hike these trails a lot. The Tecumseh Trail, the Knobstone Trail.
Where is the Tecumseh Trail?
The Tecumseh Trail starts in Morgan Monroe State Forest and goes south about 50 miles. The Knobstone Trail starts just south of Brownstown and goes south almost to down to Deem Lake, which is almost to the Ohio River.
And I presume you have to camp along the way.
Well, it depends.
45 to 50 miles over rough ground strikes me as a fair distance.
It depends
cover.
A lot because we do it more often as day hikes.
Okay.
And we basically hike it in sections. So at various times during the year, we hike all of the Knobstone Trail. Just did 12 miles last week, doing 16 in a couple weeks on the Knobstone Trail. And we hike the Low Gap, the Three Lakes Trail, which are both in Morgan Monroe. We hike sections of the Tecumseh Trail. And you've got Nebo Ridge, which is another great trail out near Story, Indiana, in Brown County. We also hike in Deem Wilderness, and we do one or two hikes a month in Brown County. So a lot of those rugged trails we do, but we usually do them in day hike sessions. So, again, if you'd like to join us, just check our schedule at indiehike.org.
We have gotten a question from a listener named Seth via Facebook. Says there are good trails in Noblesville and around Noblesville, but they don't connect. Why are we an island of trails? Richard Vonnegut.
We in the state have a number of trails, but we're in the development. One of the matters is the state decided several decades ago not to actually buy land and build trails. They would fund money, they would give support, and as a result, it was up to local communities and private groups, and they only build so far so fast. And a lot of the trails that we have, Noblesville is a good example of that. With good trails, hopefully they will get connected with the Midland over to Westfield that's built their section of the Midland and connect with the Monon and then go farther and farther from there. Which is, it's a matter of development, and if you can think of the highways, it took basically a century to build the highway system we have today. It's going to take several more decades to get the kind of thorough infrastructure that we that would be desirable for walking here and there and yonder, but there are some major steps being taken right now.
And that is, that's a motif in this conversation here, is that in addition just to the building of the trails, this connectivity. I mean, I know, Karin, when you were talking about the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, you've taken some pains to emphasize how many different things it connects and how the pieces of it fit together. Is that one of the challenges here when we talk about developing trails in this state, is making sure that they hook up, that they're accessed from different points? Jeff Edmondson, I see you nodding your head.
It certainly is. What you want is a network of trails so that people can access them and can travel throughout the state. That's the real challenge, is to get all the pieces put together.
But also money, because you have to have money to build trails, and if you don't have the money, it doesn't happen.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Joan, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for your great program.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I recently moved from living downtown after 13 years to the suburbs, and I'm near Eagle Creek, and I get kind of spoiled downtown, and I love Eagle Creek. However, I'm just south of 56th Street, so I walk. And is there any plans to do some type of maybe overpass, walking overpass to get across 56th Street? It's very dangerous, and there's a whole park of just trails, and I love it. However, it's when you're walking from your neighborhood and you don't want to get in your car, that's the whole point. And it's very difficult to get over 56, and it seemed like just a simple overpass that you see around different places, or some way to get, there's not even a walking where people slow down and flashing lights, which again, after living downtown for 13 years, I was surprised not to be able to just walk over to Eagle Creek when I'm, you know, just a half mile from it.
Thanks for the question, Joan. We'll see if we can get you an answer. Richard.
Overpasses are wonderful, but they're very expensive, and I don't know of any specific plans to build in that area right now, although I'll ask the city officials later on.
You know,
it actually can cost, when we were trying to cross 267, it can cost $1 million for an overpass or $1 million for a tunnel. So it's just not a drop in the bucket.
So it's prohibitive. The costs in some ways are a huge disincentive.
Yes.
There. On the other hand, how about a flashing light? It was
there is a crossing of 56th Street that leads to the entrance, the 56th Street entrance of Eagle Creek Park, just west of the Colts complex. There are some soccer fields just west of it. I cannot remember the name of the street that dead ends into 56th Street.
Dandy Trail.
Is it? And there's a nice wide walkway that leads up to 56th Street, just west of the Colts complex. And there is a traffic light there, so there is a safe crossing of 56th Street at that point.
So I guess it would depend on, in Joan's case, just whether, you know, if she's west of the park and trying to come back, that might be a little more difficult.
I think it's Reed Road, there is a stoplight there. So if you're going to cross 56th, try at Reed Road, which is just between the Colts complex and the main entrance to Eagle Creek.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm so excited to hear this program. I just moved from Virginia, and I'm still learning the whole area, but I wanted to add to the program also, there's a great hobby out there that not a lot of people know about. It's called geocaching.
Yes.
And it's like a GPS treasure hunt. And that really adds a lot to me for hiking as well. I do a lot of geocaching around here and on the trails, and I did that a lot in Virginia. I'm really excited about getting out on these trails out here in Indiana as well. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation, to something for people to look into.
Well, when you mentioned that, Matt, Diana got very, very excited. So we're going to let her respond to this. Thank you very much for the call.
Well, I've seen some geocaching, just placing the items out on the B&O trail, and I've actually know where one is now. I've seen it, and where you can, you know, sign your name. So yes, that's really a great way to get out. A lot of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts do that, too, to follow through. What a wonderful idea this
is. We probably ought to give a slightly more expansive definition of what geocaching is here. What do we mean by this?
Richard, maybe you're the one to explain it better.
Basically, it's using the high tech of your BlackBerry or whatever you have, your black box is, to go find points where somebody has put a tin can or such. I haven't done it, so I may be slightly inaccurate, but it's basically it's a small container that has lots of little trinkets in it. You can sign in and you put in a trinket and take out a trinket, so there's participation and sharing, and these are listed in geocaching websites. I was hiking on the Farm Heritage Trail out northwest of Lebanon, and there were some people geocaching there. It's just a modern form of exploring and having fun by giving and taking along the way.
A little bit like a treasure hunt.
It's a treasure hunt using electronics.
Right. I mean, for those when I think of hiking, I think of it as a way to sort of get away from all of that sort of stuff. Taking my phone with me or whatever strikes me as somewhat counterintuitive. On that, is there some pushback among hiking purists about this, or is that, or is it something that they embrace?
It's not loud. It's not noise. It's just somebody walking and stopping at certain points and looking at those points. I haven't heard pushback on that matter.
And if you don't want to take your phone, you can just take a regular old GPS.
Right. And it's the fun of the hunt and the find.
One of the things I've found is that people who are out hiking, who are true hikers or bicyclists, people who use the trail, they appreciate, especially if they respect the trail.
We are talking about Indiana trails here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can send us a question or a comment via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I kind of wanted to introduce an idea. See what your panel has to say about it. I want to encourage biking as a mass transit system, and I was wondering if there was a way to apply the technology of people movers on conveyors in airports to something like the Monon to increase speed and ease of travel time from the north to downtown and back.
Good question. Thank you very much for the call, Kevin. Go ahead,
Well,
Karen.
Just specifically related to the Monon in terms of a commuting, a mode to commute via bike on the Monon. I know the parks director just recently signed, I think, an executive order that allows the Monon to be open 24 hours a day, specifically for bicycle commuters who are looking to get downtown or to the north side of town, during the dusk and dawn hours when you're done with work or headed to work. So as a commuting perspective, the Monon is obviously our main north-south connector to the cultural trail, which gets you downtown.
That doesn't involve car.
A car, right, exactly.
Of some kind. That idea of sort of enhancing, though, the idea of walking through technology, I mean, talking about the people movers, I would imagine one objection to that, obviously, would be the cost involved in creating that. I mean, most of them are there for relatively short spaces. The idea of doing that for a long distance, is it also sort of, I guess where I was going also with a question about using your BlackBerry or your handheld device when you're hiking. I mean, some of this is to try to reconnect you with the physical world, right?
And you'd have to build a separate section. It had to be surveyed. You'd have to have the land available, the power available. It's just really cost prohibitive, and really the idea is to get out and enjoy the nature on the trails besides commuting, but you just want to relax.
I think that some of the feedback that the trail designers and builders got from the cycling community when they were designing the trail is that some people really just want to go as fast as they can from point A to point B, and the Indianapolis Cultural Trail is not designed for that. It's designed for
and
you
really,
to
the
enjoy.
Monon's not either.
Exactly. It's
That's
designed
right.
for you to enjoy the experience. And so on the cultural trail, bicyclists, pedestrians, you do have to stop at the crosswalks. You have to stop at the lights, and so it's a part of the journey. It's definitely not a super highway for bikes.
Right. I'm also a member of CIBA, Central Indiana Bicycling Association, mm-hmm. and many of the fast riders will not ride on trails because of the traffic. Mm-hmm. And really, they shouldn't. If you are comfortable riding the road and you want to ride fast, do it. But we have a speed limit on ours, and I think other trails sometimes do, too, because you don't want to knock people down. You've got dogs and babies and strollers. And
Sam, welcome to the program. Sam?
Hello.
Hello,
yes,
Sam.
Hi. My husband and I are resident managers at a summer camp in Brown County, and the Tecumseh Trail actually has an easement and runs along our property, and we have an outpost shelter where people can camp there. I just wanted to express appreciation for the Hoosier Hiking Council, who runs the Tecumseh Trail and comes out and does work out there, and just say how cool it is. We have a log where people can come and write, and you wouldn't believe how far and wide the people are that we get who sign into this book.
Thank you very much for the call, Sam. Well, and that probably would be a good way. I'm going to save Karen for last because I think I know her answer to this question. But I think probably to give people recommendations and to spur them to some sort of activity, the idea of doing a hike, I'm just going to ask each of you, starting with Diana, what's your favorite hiking trail here in the state? Where would you go?
I have worked 21 years on the B&O. It's the B&O. But I can't wait to ride my bike down the cultural trail. Hopefully I have time this summer to do that.
And Jeff Edmondson, this obviously is a passion for you. Where's your favorite?
My personal favorite is the Knobstone Trail. But we have a lot of good trails, and there are just so many in the state. I other than the Knobstone, because that clearly is my favorite, the rest I like to do all the time.
Okay. Richard.
I can't have a favorite. I've been involved with too
like
many.
Like favorite children.
But I do want to point out that the American Discovery Trail that Jeff oversees, but it runs from Cincinnati to Chicago and Cincinnati to southern Illinois. The national that is a route, and you can look up American Discovery Trail. National Trails Day is an event coming up on June 1st and related weekends there, too. And there's events coming up, National Trails Day. And then we at the Hoosier Rails, the Trails Council, are building the United States bicycle route system from La Porte through Indianapolis to Louisville. And we're going to be using parts of the Cultural Trail Legacy and the Monon and others. All three of these exist or are coming about, events, routes, and they're going to enhance. They're providing spines, and they're going to enhance the overall demeanor of walking and bicycling in the state.
And Karen, I think I know what your answer is. Your favorite
it's
trail.
It's
got to
be
ahead.
The Indianapolis Cultural Trail, and I hope it will become everyone else's favorite trail, especially as they come down and celebrate the trail this weekend, May 10th and 11th.
Give people the URL one more time.
IndyCulturalTrail.org/getdownonit.
Okay, and Richard Vonnegut, please give your URL as well one more time. You give everybody a bite at this apple one more time.
IndianaTrails.community.
.community, which is a different one at the end.
Indianapolis Hiking Club is indyhike.org, and we have a Facebook at facebook.com/theIndianapolisHikingClub.
And the B&O is very easy, botrail.org.
Well, I'd like to thank you all for joining me. This has been a fun conversation. We've gotten to talk about some great hikes. I hope at some point we'll have you all back here. I'd like to thank Richard Vonnegut of the Indiana Rails to Trails Council. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Karen Haley with Indianapolis Cultural Trail, good luck this weekend.
Thank you
very much for being here. Jeff Edmondson of the Indianapolis Hiking Club. Jeff, pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Diana Virgil of B&O Trail, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We will be back. Oh, certainly. We will be back here on Thursday when we are going to be marking the ACLU of Indiana's 60th anniversary. I'm John Kroll. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alsett. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis.
technical producer Jeanette Rhodes and board engineer Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.